You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphs and successes of business owners across the land. Authentic Business Adventures can be found on the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are locally underwritten by the Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. Today, we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Sandy Forster, the best-selling author, speaker, and prosperity mentor with wildlywealthy.com. Sandy, how are you doing today?
I am doing amazing. Thank you, James. And I have to say, the very fact that you've got the name Prairie in a bank just is amazing. I love
right?
it.
Yeah, it's a weird, I don't know, they throw money at the media, at the place that we record all this, so we got to give them kudos, I guess. So it's all how it is, right? So you, on your website, you have that you went from welfare to millionaire, which that alone, you have us, well, pretty intrigued, because that sounds pretty cool. So how about you just tell us, just briefly, and then we can dig into it, what is your backstory for going from welfare to millionaire?
Yeah, sure. So basically, the very quick backstory, I met a boy when I was 16 in high school. We went out for 11 years. We got married. I had a three-year-old and a six-month-old, and then we got divorced. And the business that I had at the time, which was designing and manufacturing swimwear, which was really just a hobby. Like, it was something that I did. I used to buy lovely fabric all winter and go into my garage and sew it all into bikinis and gym wear, and then find an empty store down by the beach in summer and then sell it all. And so it was just a hobby, but suddenly that hobby had to become an actual business, like a real business. Right. And I didn't make enough money at all. I just went further and further into debt, and I ended up $100,000 in debt and on welfare, and literally thought that that's where I was going to be kind of landing the rest of my life, because I couldn't see how I would ever get out of that debt. But very luckily, I discovered the law of attraction, and I discovered quantum physics and neuroscience, and discovered that you could actually create your life the way that you wanted to by basically rewiring your brain. And so that's what I did. And went from welfare to millionaire. And my absolute passion now is helping other entrepreneurs to really understand how they think can really affect their future, right, their destiny, and their business.
All right. How long ago did you have this swimwear company?
That was probably 22 years ago.
Oh, it was? Okay, so it was a while ago. All right.
Yeah. I discovered the law of attraction well before the rest of the world. So, yeah, I really first discovered law of attraction about 20 years ago. And at the time, I was, you know, as I said, I was really struggling financially, and I really dived into it and just gave it everything I had. Because the thing is, just imagine, you're $100,000 in debt and on welfare. And if you focus on that and you think about that and you, you know, put all your energy there, it's not a happy place.
No, it's very tough.
It's really scary. Yeah, it's just really, really scary and not nice. So when I discovered the law of attraction, discovered that what you focus on is what you create, I felt like I was in heaven, because focusing on how my life actually was, I was focusing on being a millionaire and all the things I would do when I was a millionaire, and having my own house and having my own, a car that didn't leak and grow a plant in the back because you know, when it rained, there was so much water there, and being able to travel and being able to do all the things that made my heart sing. It was so much fun going to that place that, you know, as I said, I really dived into it, and I spent a lot of time really focusing on what I wanted, and things just completely turned around.
So let's talk about law of attraction for a little bit. How did you stumble upon it? Was it, I don't know if The Secret came out around that time, or this Think and Grow Rich, or Richest Man in Babylon, or there's millions of books that talk about it. So how did you stumble upon it?
Well, initially, I stumbled upon it, I guess, when it was just called positive thinking. Okay. So I remember going to a seminar by, what was his name? He's one of those really, I think it's Brian Tracy. And he came to Australia, and he was, and it was in a huge, big, like, entertainment center. And there was tens of thousands of people attending, and 98% of them were all men. And it was all about sales. So it was this big sales conference. And he talked about the super conscious mind and how we have this part of our mind that we're just not tapping into. And if we tap into it, then everything can change. And his language was very much aimed at men, salesmen. But years later, when I thought about everything he said, because I found my notes and I went through it, it was like, oh my gosh, this guy was talking about the law of attraction, but he was languaging it in a way that felt comfortable to mainstream. But the way I actually discovered the law of attraction and understood what it was, as I said, I was $100,000 in debt. I was on welfare. I was really stressed out. I was embarrassed about my situation. I felt a lot of shame because I thought the rest of the world had the money thing sorted and I was the only one that didn't. And really scared and frustrated and didn't know what my future held. And I remember going to, it was kind of like a, it was like a career counselor / hypnotherapist. I went to this guy and he put me under, I don't even know that I went under, but he did whatever he does. And then at the end of it, he said, so what came up for you? And I said, well, the only thing that really appeals to me is personal development. But in my mind, I'm thinking there is no way I'm getting into the personal development industry because there's only two things you can do. You either write a book or you speak. And there is no way on this planet that I can ever do either of those things. So I just kind of dismissed it. Then about 2 weeks later, I saw this tiny little ad, this minute little ad in the paper, and it just jumped out at me. And it's there were some words in there that really appealed. One was, it said strong work ethic. It said personal development. And it said make money. And I was like, yes.
Checking the boxes.
It was ticking all the boxes. So I answered that ad and it just happened to be about a product. There was, a sort of a suite of products. There was home study courses and there were seminars, but it was all based on the law of attraction. And that's the first time I discovered law of attraction. So that would have been, that was about 20 years ago, about the year 2000.
Okay.
And that was well before The Secret came out. So The Secret came out in 2000 and I think it was 2006.
Okay.
But so I discovered the law of attraction and I absolutely loved it. And as I said, I fell in love with it, just kept applying it in my life. And I'd love to say that from that point onwards, it was all onward and upward and amazing things, but it doesn't really work like that. I used to say to people, I work by the bulldozer method, meaning I get a goal, I focus on it and I just go toward it and everything else just gets knocked out of the way. Mm-hmm. And that can definitely work up to a point, but at some point you have to actually what I call align body, mind and spirit. So you can't just do the doing and focus on what you want and go toward it and expect that, life will be nirvana from that point. Because we're human and stuff happens and we react to stuff and the way we react and the way we think can really affect our results. So when I discovered that it was all about aligning body, mind and spirit, all about aligning your thoughts and your feelings and your actions, that's where the real magic happens.
Gotcha. That's pretty cool. So tell me about the law of attraction and moving into the body, mind, spirit thing. Because that goes a little bit beyond what a lot of books talk about.
Yeah, well, a lot of books and the movie The Secret was amazing. And I absolutely loved it because by that stage, I had already written my own book, How to Be Wildly Wealthy Fast, which is all about all the different processes and exercises that I used to manifest more money into my life. And so when The Secret came out, I was like beside myself because it was like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. It's based around what I already teach. It's going to really open the world up to this amazing thing called the law of attraction. And, what we focus on is what we attract. But before that, what happened was I was really in that place where I was coaching groups around the law of attraction and I was really helping them to put into place all the different processes and exercises. But what I noticed was a lot of people were kind of struggling with actually manifesting. So they were doing all the right things, they were thinking all the right things, but they weren't actually manifesting what they wanted, or weren't manifesting on a consistent basis.
Okay.
And so what I really discovered was, and it actually comes back to something that Wallace Wattles, who wrote The Science of Getting Rich, it was a book written in 1910, so that's what, over 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Very old language, but in that book he says something very profound, and I love it. He says, by thought the thing you desire is brought to you, but by action you receive it.
All right.
And that's kind of the missing piece for most people. They're sitting around meditating, expecting the money to drop into their lap.
Right.
But they're not taking action. And so when I say align body, mind, and spirit, it's about thinking that you've already created, manifested, attracted what it is you truly desire. So you get really clear on what you desire, and you think about it, and you really get into that place of imagining it's already in your life. And then spirit is all about the feelings. It's about really connecting with the feelings that you would have as if you have already manifested it. So quite often it's things like gratitude and joy and happiness and appreciation. So really getting into the feeling place, but then people weren't taking action.
Right.
They were basically sitting around expecting it to magically appear.
Right.
And the missing piece is the action. When you take action, you're affirming not only to the universe that you're serious, but you're actually affirming to yourself that you mean business. And when you do that, something kind of shifts. There's this thing like your confidence grows, you feel like, because your logical mind is going, okay, I get this, this is real. Whereas if you don't take action, what happens is your logical mind, which isn't the creative mind, is the one that really allows you to attract. But your logical mind goes, well, this is a load of rubbish. Like, right. I can't see how this is going to happen. And when your logical mind comes in and sabotages you, then you're not going to attract anything. You're not going to, the opportunities and the situations and the experiences and the connections and all the things that will enable you to manifest your dreams, to attract things into your life, it's not going to happen because your logical mind is sabotaging you. So when you align body, mind, and spirit, when you think the right thoughts, feel the right feelings, and take the right actions, that's when it all can happen.
Gotcha. That's cool. That's cool. Yeah. The action thing is definitely, I feel like that's lost with a lot of people. The implementation, they feel like I'm thinking all the things.
Yeah.
But then you ask them, well, what is the last step that you took towards that goal?
Yeah. And that's the thing, because the law of attraction and all the different processes and exercises and all the mindset work, it is so much fun. Like it is, it's way more fun than the action.
But so, it's a dream.
So that's why, so that's why everyone's quite happy to do all that stuff. But the actual taking the action is when you allow it to move from the metaphysical into the physical world. So action is so important.
Yeah. Interesting.
And so let me give you an example. I want to give you an example
of that.
Sorry. I just want to jump in because I talked about The Secret. And so when The Secret first came out here in Australia, it didn't actually come out. So there was this trailer, and I don't know if you saw it. It went for about, I don't know, a couple of minutes, probably 2 minutes. It didn't actually say it was about the law of attraction. It didn't give you that definite, but I just got this sense because they talked about This Secret. And I just felt like it really had something to do with what I was doing. It really had something to do with my book and all the courses and programs that I was offering. I just really wanted to see it. But they couldn't sell it in Australia at the time. And so I decided to email The Secret people. So I sent an email off to Rhonda Byrne, and she's the producer of The Secret. And I actually sent it directly just to The Secret website. And I got an email back from Rhonda herself, who said, we get, you know, dozens, hundreds, thousands of emails come to our website, but I never get any. And for some reason, I don't know how, but yours came to me. And in the email, I'd said, I'd love to send you a gift because I think what you're doing is going to change the world. So she said, I'd love to have a gift. So I sent her my book and I sent her my Millionaire Mindset program, which at the time was a printed out home study course. And she emailed me back and said, oh my gosh, did you watch The Secret and then write your book? And I said, no, the book's been out for ages and I still haven't seen The Secret. So she ended up sending me a DVD and I had a secret party at my house.
Wow.
And I had people around and we watched The Secret and I was like, oh my gosh. And I said, why? I said to her, why can't we buy The Secret in Australia? And there was some sort of agreement that until it aired on TV, they weren't allowed to actually sell it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I had clients from all around the world. And I said, well, I want to be able to sell it to people because I think it's amazing. I said, can someone else in America sell it to Australia?
Yeah.
And she said, sure. You know, Americans or any American company can, but we can't sell to Australia. And I said, well, I just happen to have a US company. And so my US company purchased The Secret and then began selling it to all my clients and customers. And,
wow.
But what I'm trying to get at is my idea alone. So I took action. I could have thought, oh, I want to, you know, I think this movie is going to be amazing. Like, I just would love to be able to see it. But, oh, well, you know, oh, well, just leave it at that.
Right.
But I took action and sent the email. And then, you know, sending the email and communicating and then asking the question, well, could my company do that? Sure.
Right.
Now, keep in mind, I knew nothing about importing, exporting, distribution, taxes coming in and out of the country. I didn't know any of that, but mm-hmm. I just said, I'll do it. And that idea alone made me close to $3 million in less than a year.
Wow.
So from taking action, the universe rewards speed. The universe loves action. So
nice.
Yeah, I know. You just got to add that missing piece, that missing ingredient, take action, and the universe will just allow things to unfold before you. Because when I reached out to them, when I reached out to The Secret people, I had no intention of, oh, how can I make huge money out of this?
Right.
I just thought what they were doing was amazing and I just wanted to send them a gift. And, you know, as it resulted, I got a huge gift out of that too.
Yeah. I think what's interesting is that you did not perceive The Secret as competition. Like, you're not thinking like, oh my gosh, you're doing this huge thing. I've done this years ago. This is old news. This isn't a secret. I just, no one's bought or not enough people have bought my book for this to be a bigger deal than it is kind of thing. You didn't look at it like that.
Yeah.
Which I looked very at it. Interesting.
Yeah. I looked at it purely as, oh my gosh, this is going to allow people all around the world to suddenly get what it is I'm doing. Because, you know, that was the biggest thing when you think about it 20 years ago. People, when I talked about the law of attraction, they thought I was talking about some sort of dating thing. They didn't really get what it was that I was doing. Yeah, so I love the idea that The Secret was going to really open people's eyes up. Because the thing is, when you think about it, a movie or a documentary, many, 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 many more people will sit down, chill out and watch something than they will pull out a book and read. It's just the way society is. So that's why I just knew that The Secret was going to change so many lives, because it was going to reach people that would never in a million years have thought about reading a book. So that was really cool the way that they did that. I love that movie. Still to this day, I love that movie.
Yeah, that is very cool. Now tell me, your first book that you came out with, at that point, did you make it to your $1 million 5-6 years after you were on welfare?
Yeah. So what happened was, I was on welfare, really struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided, and I was being an entrepreneur. So I was still trying to make my business work and it just wasn't working. I ended
this
up
is
closing
the swimwear one.
Yeah. Ended up closing the swim and gym wear down and then started doing the personal development course that I was selling. So I was doing that and it was going along beautifully. And then the person who owned the global marketing rights to that product had a dispute with a printer. They said, you haven't printed it right. We're not paying for it until you print it right. The printer said, well, we're not going to reprint it until you pay for it. And they were stuck in this deadlock I think it was, you know, about 8 months. And keep in mind that that was a direct sales business.
Yeah.
When you're in direct sales and you don't have a product to sell, you don't have a business.
Right.
So that went down the tube. So then I was kind of struggling a little bit. I discovered coaching. I borrowed money to go through coach training. I started kind of coaching people. And I really like that because I love the idea of being able to work from home mm-hmm. and being able to choose my own hours and the fact that it was in the personal development industry and I was helping people. But, you know, at the time, I kind of felt like an absolute fraud. I felt ridiculous because my life was in chaos. I had no money. I felt stressed and I felt like a crummy mummy because I used to yell at my kids and it was all just, you know, a bit too much.
Right.
And then being a coach, I just like at the start, I just felt like who am I
right.
to coach people? Like who am I to be, you know, trying to get people to achieve their dreams? But then I realized that coaching is not about being the expert or being this perfect person or having your life totally together. It's about taking clients through a process and guiding them and supporting them. And, you know, as long as you're on the path to improving yourself, you don't have to be the one that is, you know, like a guru. You're not sure. That. You're right. not a consultant. You're not, you know, you're not the person who knows everything. So that kind of made me feel better. And I really loved what I was doing. And around that time, my accountant actually came to me and said, I know you've had previous experience in direct sales and I am going into this business and I would love you to be my partner. I've got lots of clients, but I don't want to talk to them about it. And I know you'd be great talking to them. And my logical mind said, oh, don't do this. Like, what are you doing? You said you were never going to get into direct sales again. But then something just kind of made me feel like, oh, I got to look at this. Anyway, we went into a partnership and we started promoting a course, and it was a very practical course. It was based on real estate investing, and my business partner was an accountant, financial advisor. What else was she? She was like a tax person, like all that practical, what I call boring stuff around money that's mm-hmm. very important. And so we went into partnership, and about 6 months in, 6 or 7 months in, I actually woke up one morning with the name Wildly Wealthy Women in my head. And I jumped online and I registered the domain name, and then did nothing with it for about 3 or 4 months. And then we were both at an event in the US. And I said to her, look, there's something I want to talk to you about. You know, I know this education that, you know, we're promoting is really helpful, but I just think that the very fact that I've got you to ask questions of, and, you know, I don't feel stuck, allows me to move forward with this. And I just think it'd be great to have a whole community of women and really support them. And so the idea was we would have Wildly Wealthy Women mentoring program. We would bring the real estate education into it, you know, the home study course into it, but we would have Wildly Wealthy Women's Wicked Weekends a few times a year. We would have weekly live calls where she would talk about the practical side, and then I would talk about the mindset. And we launched that program, and literally within 3 months we had something like 750 women join, and that was a, you know, $3,000 or so program. And
wow.
So that made about $2 million. So yeah, that's basically how I sort of started to make a lot of money. And then I wrote my book because I used all the practical, I mean all the mindset principles to actually create the success, you know, because remember, not long before that I'd been $100,000 in debt and on welfare. And by using all the things that I now teach, I was able to just, you know, ideas out of nowhere would pop into my head, you know, and connections and people and all sorts of things happened because I was aligning my body, mind and spirit. I was thinking the right thoughts, and I was definitely taking action, and I was feeling the right feelings. So
nice.
Yeah, it all just came together. So over the years, I've had a few ideas that, as I said, they literally just come out of the blue. And I take action on them. And that's
big one.
Where it happens.
Big one. Yeah. I was joking with someone the other day, speaking of this, where they're just like, somebody came to me and they said, I'm an idea man. Like, I can find every entrepreneur has ideas, but it's the implementation or taking those action steps. That's the difference between successful entrepreneur and the dreamer, essentially.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, quite often we become entrepreneurs because, A, we like the freedom. We don't want to have a boss. We want to be able to choose our own hours. But what happens is many entrepreneurs then end up just working all the time, like constantly working. Yeah. And yes, they have a million ideas. Mm-hmm. Like they've got too many ideas. And that's the problem. They start one idea and then they come up with another idea and they go over here and then they come up with another idea and they go over here. And they just don't kind of focus and narrow in on one thing and really make it work. So that's chasing the entrepreneur's curse.
Interesting. That's cool. So tell me about the Wildly Wealthy Women. How has that evolved over the past, we're talking 15, 20 years?
Yeah. So Wildly Wealthy Women started as I said, a business partnership between myself and my accountant. And it was very much focused around real estate and around, you know, and I would bring the mindset in. But then over the years, I started to bring more of the things that I'd created success around because, you know, we saw lots of women creating lots of success in the real estate industry and you know, buying properties and doing developments and doing all sorts of amazing things. But then I started to bring in things about becoming an author or becoming an infopreneur or becoming a coach. And I started to bring that into the mix. And then after I was probably about 6 years or so, something happened with my business partner and she really needed to take a step back. And so I ended up just taking over Wildly Wealthy Women myself. And my plan was, get this. So my plan was initially, okay, I'm going to close it down for a while and I'm going to reopen it up and just focus purely on becoming a coach, becoming an author, becoming an entrepreneur, creating online courses and products and becoming a coach, all those sorts of things. And people could just do the things that they wanted. So that was the plan.
All right.
But I never did it.
Never closed it down or never?
I closed it down and never started it back up for years and years and years. Yeah, ridiculous. So I only just relaunched it again last year. And it really is more very much just all the mindset principles for entrepreneurs to really rewire their mind. So lots of visualizations, lots of inspiration, lots of mindset hacks. But it only opens probably once a year. And so currently it's just a wait list. But it took me ages to reopen it because, you know, I'm like all the other entrepreneurs, got so many ideas, just trying to figure out which one to do. Yeah.
So between the time that you closed it down and the time that I guess you reopened it now, what were you doing then? I guess were you just basking in the glow of success, or was it?
No. Oh, I'd get totally bored basking in the glow of success. So I, in about 2008, so about 11 years ago, I launched the Inspired Spirit Coaching Academy because I had so many women say, oh my gosh, I want to live your life. Like I want to be able to, you know, choose when I work, choose where I work. I want to be able to make as much money as I want. I want to be able to help other people. I want to be able to spend more time with my family. You know, I want to do what you're doing. So I launched the Inspired Spirit Coaching Academy where I train and then internationally certify people to become law of attraction coaches. So we dive into how to be a coach, all the practical aspects around that. We give them lots of processes to follow with when they're working with clients. And then we also dive into all the mindset work and, you know, all the stuff that I totally love. And so, yeah, I've been really focusing on that probably for the last 10 years or so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and loving it. So we've trained thousands of people all around the world to be attraction coaches. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So let's talk about marketing, because something like that, you need a big audience in order to be as successful as you are. So how do you get the word out that you have this process, this intellectual property kind of thing? How do you get the word out?
Yeah. Well, I still kind of do it the way I did it at the start, because you've got to remember that when I first started in business as, you know, a coach and really trying to build that business, I had no money. So I was $100,000 in debt and on welfare. So I had to become very creative as to how to actually launch my business. And this was before social media. So
this is a different story than 2020.
Exactly. Exactly. So I had to kind of figure out how to get the word out. So I'm really good at low and no cost ways. And, you know, I know there's Facebook ads and there's all that these days, but I still spend absolutely nothing on growing my business.
Wow. So, that's impressive. Yeah.
So for that's me, awesome. I know the way I look at it is I've always thought, and this is something that Mark Victor Hansen, who wrote the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, and they have published over, I don't know if it's a billion or half a billion. Either way, it's impressive. Lot. Yeah. So he always said that you should use your book as your business card. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what I've done. So I wrote my book back in 2004. And throughout the book, although it's filled with all the different processes and exercises and things that I've done to manifest money in my life, very much sprinkled throughout the book are additional things like come back to my website, you know, come back to this particular URL and get this free guided visualization or get this free money tracking process or get this free, you know, whatever it happens to be. And so I've got it set up so that anyone who reads my book comes back to my website. And the great thing about a book is, you know, it's obviously a printed book. A lot of people these days only bring out ebooks, or Kindle books, but a print book is amazing because think about it. When someone gets a print book, they usually don't throw it in the bin. Like they don't throw it in the rubbish. They don't throw it in the trash. They keep it. They either keep it on their shelf, they donate it, they give it away as a gift, they, you know, whatever it happens to be. But that book is always out there. And if you've written the book correctly, it just becomes like this ongoing, ever-living business card. Mm-hmm. And so I know that my book has really helped in many, many ways to attract people to me because they come to my website, they love everything about the law of attraction, come to my website, then they're in my community. And then, you know, as well as the Inspired Spirit Coaching Academy, because not everyone wants to be a coach, I also have Millionaire Mindset Experience, which is kind of the next level of manifesting. It's where we really get in and start rewiring the brain in an amazing way. So, you know, they come to my community and they see what's available and quite often they'll, you know, purchase something, they'll download another freebie that I've got. I really feel that my book, it really has become my big business card and it's consistently attracting people to me. So that's one way. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to actual marketing, and I don't do a lot of it these days simply because I think sometimes when your business gets to a certain size and when your reputation sort of grows to a certain point, there's a lot of word of mouth. There's a lot of, you know, someone reads a book, and, oh my gosh, you got to read that book. Oh, did you hear Sandy on a podcast? Or did you, you know, you heard about this? And so it becomes a lot easier. Mm-hmm. But when I was first starting out, I did a lot of things like sending out press releases. So no matter what was going on in my business, I would always write press releases and send them like a finished article to the local paper, to the regional paper, to the big city paper. And, you know, I used to get a lot of press releases. I went in, this is a really great tip. I would go in lots of competitions. I'm not talking about, you know, winning a fridge competition. I mean, business competitions. And I would always use the fact that I had entered a competition to get that information out to the media. I would use the fact that I had been shortlisted in a competition. I was a finalist and get that out to the media. And then I won quite a number of business awards. And so again, I'd get that out to the media. And then any type of media that I got, I mean, if you go to my website, wildlywealthy.com, and you look on the media page, you'll see, you know, so many articles and magazines and interviews done with me. And the reason being is because the media loves the media. I know it's all changing now and I know it's very different, but the media feeds off the media. And if they see one story, they want to be part of it and they feel like that they can do a story. So if you start really local, just in your free paper or whatever it happens to be local, you'll find that once you've done that, larger media start looking at you. So yeah, I've had lots of things happen. Like even Australia's one of Australia's leading national women's magazines got me to write an article, a monthly article for quite a few months, all around The Secret and the Law of Attraction. So pretty cool.
That is super cool. So they reached out to you and said, "Hey, you're an expert on this. Will you?"
They Googled The Secret and my name came up. And so they, wow. you know, flew up to see me and talk to me and said, yep, we want to do. So they did, they actually did a two-page spread on me, and it was called Oprah's Aussie Secret. And it was me and Oprah standing next to each other, like superimposed, but funny. Looking like we were best friends right. and talking about how Nicole Kidman used the secret and how, you know, I used the secret to change my life and how Oprah loved the secret. And then from there, they ended up doing, as I said, a whole series of articles that I wrote for them.
Nice. So that had to bring in quite a few clients then.
It would have brought in a lot. Absolutely. Yeah.
Nice. That's incredible. Mm. That is super cool. So from the, I guess, from this whole law of attraction thing, was there ever a point when you believed, this seems kind of weird or seems kind of silly? Or like, how does this work? I just wish for money and it just lands in my lap or something like that. Was there ever any doubt? Or maybe a better question would be, what level of doubt?
I'm human and I'm a Gemini as well. So it's like this split personality, very creative one side and very like questioning everything on the other side.
Sure.
So, you know, the first time I kind of discovered the law of attraction, I actually thought, there was part of me that was like, you know, it just seemed a bit woo-woo, you know, sure. a bit new age, hippie-ish. And I really didn't know. But I guess that we live in really, really exciting times in that quantum science is now able to validate a lot of what was previously thought of as very woo-woo.
Fair.
And totally so, fair. So for me, that side of it really allows me to go, okay, this is real, because mm-hmm. there are times that sometimes, you know, the most amazing things have happened to me and it's like, oh, that's just a coincidence, or, you know, or that was going to happen anyway. Like I in my Millionaire Mindset Experience program, I actually have all my students share their successes, because I believe that by sharing a success and hearing a success of someone else, it builds mm-hmm. people's belief. And when your totally. Belief is built, then you're able to create more. And some of the things that happen even blows my mind. Like people have, I had one woman had a $93,700 loan wiped off. Like they came to her saying, we're going to wipe your loan off. I've had people that have manifested, you know, $10,000 in a week. I've had all these amazing things. And even though I teach this and they're my students, sometimes I go, oh my gosh, like how did that happen?
Really?
What's going on? And it's so exciting to see other people create money miracles. And as I said, I'm human. I'm like everyone else. There are times where I think, is this just all like, are we all like the placebo effect? We just think it's going to work and so it works. But who cares? Like the bottom line is, I think the law of attraction is ancient. It's been around forever, but we now have this not only quantum physics, but neuroscience. And they're really understanding and looking into the brain and seeing how it works and mm-hmm. and really, really, really getting to that point where we, and I was actually listening to a neuroscientist the other day, and she was blowing my mind about, you know, she actually had pictures of how the brain works and what happens when you think and what happens when you create a memory and why 21 days is no longer the amount of time that you need to rewire the brain. You need to go usually through three cycles of that. So 63 days to really anchor something into your brain long term forever. So, yeah, just so many exciting discoveries when it comes to the brain and the mind and the law of attraction.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's cool. That is very cool. So you, 20 years into this, you're still, it sounds like you're still learning, which is impressive.
Yes, I know. That's the most exciting part, because if it was just, here's the law of attraction, this is what you do, I'd probably be bored by now and be off doing something else. But because, you know, they are discovering new things and, you know, it's just, it's all so exciting that to me, it's all new. And the thing is, I love to learn, because then I can go back to my students and then give them more information and help them even more. So I think I was born to teach only because I was born to learn. I love learning. I remember when I was $100,000 in debt and on welfare, and the things that really, that I loved more than anything was reading a book and discovering things and going to a seminar, and it was like, ooh, like so exciting. So I love learning, and I just love sharing what I learn.
Very cool. So once you became a millionaire, did you ever reach out to your ex-husband and say, like, how do you like me now?
No. No, so we met in high school when we were 16, and we went out for, you know, about 10 or 11 years, and then we got married. And pretty much straight away, as soon as we had kids, I realized that, oh my Lord, we are not meant for each other. You know, we just had completely different outlooks on life. And the thing was, so you have to understand that, yeah, yes, I've become a millionaire, but he was a millionaire before me. So when we split up, he then went on to create a very successful, you know, multi-millionaire. But the reason I was on welfare, and I probably shouldn't share this, but I'm going to anyway. The reason I was on welfare because I was not being paid the right amount of child support. So I was getting something like $105 a month child support. A month.
Wow.
It was tragic. Yeah. That's the thing. People who have businesses and good accountants and everything can juggle things. So
yeah, they play the game. Yeah.
So I had $105 a month. So yeah, I was really struggling. So no point pointing out to him what I've done because he's already done it.
Gotcha.
The thing is, there's not one speck of him that would ever, ever, ever believe in the law of attraction.
Really?
So the thing, oh gosh, no, we are polar opposites. No, there's not one cell of his body that would think, he thinks I'm completely insane. But the thing is, the law of attraction works for everyone.
Sure.
Whether you believe it or not.
Right. And like gravity.
This is a man who totally believes that he is going to be successful, and that's it. And he just took action consistently to do that. So he created that. So whether or not you believe it, it's working behind the scenes.
Right. Yeah, so whether you even
may
label
as well,
it.
Yeah. Sure. So if you believe it and you understand it, you may as well use it to your advantage.
Sure. Interesting. Let's shift into your books because you've written a few of them.
I have. Yeah.
So tell me about, I guess, how many books do you have?
Gosh, I think I've written my own book, How to Be Wildly Wealthy Fast. And then I've been a contributor to probably about another 10 or 11 books.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And so the Wildly Wealthy one, that was the one and only one that you did on your own. Is that right?
That's the one and only one. And I have been trying to write a number of books for many years. I look back and think, how on earth did I even write that book? But I think the way I wrote that book was because I was actually teaching the principles by teleseminar. So I was teaching it before webinars and, you know, video and Zoom and all that thing around, just teaching it over the phone. Every week over a period of weeks. And then it started off as teaching it every week for 4 weeks. And then I expanded it to 6 weeks and then 8 weeks and then 12 weeks. And once I got to 12 weeks, I thought, I can't keep expanding this course, you know, and I've got so many great stories and so many examples and so many processes. I can't keep expanding it because then I have to increase the price and then it becomes sort of too much for a lot of people. Yeah. And I want to be able to reach more people. So I just took all the notes that I had from creating that course and turned it into a book. And that's kind of how the book ended up being birthed.
Nice. That's pretty cool. So now how did you, I'm curious about the book thing, the marketing and all that jazz for the book, simply because I'm speaking to some authors in a few months and I just talking to other authors. I'm always curious about how they went down the road of getting published, marketing, getting known, all that stuff.
Can you just love books. Yes. Books are my thing. I love showing other people how I did it because I figure that if I've been able to do it, then anyone can do it. So, after I had the book written and then I got an editor and I made it all nice, then I decided to self-publish because I understood that if you were to get a publisher, then potentially the book might take, you know, 18 months or so to come out.
Yeah.
Like I did not want to wait that long. I knew it was going to be my business card and I wanted it out now.
And we're talking 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So different world than now for self-publishing.
I know. So I was like, okay, I want my book out now. So I decided to, I learned about the whole bestseller campaign. I learned about releasing your book on a certain day on Amazon and getting joint venture partners to partner with you to promote it. So what I did was I made a list of about, I think it was about 50 people that had kind of in the same, not money mindset, but in the same sort of personal development niche. So they were all about empowering people. And I reached out to them, told them when my book was going to be published, when it was going to be released on Amazon, and asked them if they wouldn't mind supplying a bonus, like just a digital bonus for anyone who purchased the book. And as part of that, they would have their name and their website and a bit of information about them and a link back to their website for people to download their bonus. So it would become a promotion for them.
Wow.
So I reached out to these 50 or so people. I sent them my book because I'd already had it printed and said, okay, this is the day we're going to do the promotion. And, you know, gave them all the information. And I think I had about 20 say they would. And, you know, I got all their details up on the website and, you know, had everything all ready. And then I did a live teleseminar to my audience. And at the time, I think my audience was probably only about 4,000 people. But I let them know about the, you know, the book was going to go live on this particular date, and that's when you should buy it. And basically what happened was on that date, lots of people bought the book.
Nice.
I promoted it and it cost me nothing. I think I sold probably close to $100,000 worth of books in the first, I think the first month or so.
Wow.
And yeah, and it really just allowed me, I guess more than anything, allowed me to A, sell the book, but B, get in front of the audience of those people who became my joint venture partners in that particular promotion, because they sent an email out to their list, and whether or not someone purchased the book at that time, suddenly my name was kind of in front of them. And I always believe that a great way to build your business is just be known to a lot of people.
Right.
And the more people that you're known to, and again, this is like a bit of a woo-woo law of attraction thing, but the more people that know of you, it kind of raises your awareness, not just in the people that have heard your name, but just generally, and it just really helps. So, so yeah, I think that whole process really helped to launch my book. And again, I got a whole lot of different media around that. I made sure that I took screenshots of it, and I was above, you know, some other really well-known best-selling books at the time. I made the, I think it was the Business Week best-selling list in the US.
Wow.
I think I was, something like number five or something. And I wasn't even selling through bookstores. I only sold on Amazon. So, it created a lot of attention. And then I had a foreign rights agent contact me, and then they took on the foreign rights for the book, and they've got it translated into about 11 different languages at the moment. There's French and Nigerian and Romanian and all sorts of languages. Did a lot of good.
That is cool. That's impressive. So next 5 years, 3 years in the future, where would you like your business to go?
At the moment I'm focusing on launching my own podcast. So it's something that I've wanted to do for probably, about 10 years.
All right.
I don't know what's been holding me back, because I love to talk about my topic. So that's launching in the next couple of weeks. That's going to be called Wildly Wealthy Women. And it's all about money, manifesting, and mindset.
Nice.
So I'm excited about that. And I really just want to continue to do what I'm doing. I want to reach more people, because I feel that when I transform someone's life, when I allow them to create the freedom and the prosperity and the lifestyle that they really love, that it not only affects them, but it affects the people around them. It affects their family and potentially friends. And, you know, it really has that ripple effect. And particularly when I train people to be coaches, it's really affecting a lot of people, because all their clients get affected, and then their clients' families, and it really makes a huge difference. And that's what I'm all about. I'm all about really helping other people to be able to live the life that they truly want, because, you know, having gone from welfare to millionaire, I know the difference. And not that everyone's out there being, you know, on welfare, but I know what it's like to struggle around money. And I know how scary that can be, and how shameful that can feel. And now that I'm a millionaire, the lifestyle that's given me, you know, and my kids, like the things that I've done with them, I've been able to take my daughter on a shopping spree, but instead of just down to the local mall, I took her to New York and we had a blast. And
nice.
Yeah, took my kids to trek the Inca Trail, and we've climbed Mount Kilimanjaro and wow. trekked to base camp on Everest and swum with the dolphins in Hawaii and just done all sorts of amazing, amazing things. So
that is cool.
Yeah, that is so cool. It's really fun. Yeah. And that's what I want for other people, because, you know, I know when I had no money, I think the main thing that really affected me was I felt like I had no choices. Mm. And no choices feels like jail to me. So
totally.
I know that by allowing other people to create more abundance and attract mm-hmm. more prosperity into their life, it gives them the choices to really live a life that they love.
Yeah. I like it. That mm-hmm. is super cool. Sandy, where can people find you?
The best way to find me is just go to wildlywealthy.com and mm-hmm. yeah, you can find me there. And you know, also I have a little gift, a money manifesting bundle that your listeners might be interested in. If they just go to wildlywealthyfree.com, they can get some affirmations, guided visualization. There's even a special visualization for business people. So
nice.
Grab that there.
Yeah. I love that. That's awesome. Sandy, thank you so much for being on the show. I should ask you, just besides your own book, do you have a favorite book?
Someone asked me this the other day and I still don't remember the name of it. One of the books that I absolutely love was a book by Mark Victor Hansen and Robert Allen. And it was a book that had two books in one. So on one side of the page was very creative, you know, that side of the brain story. And on the other side of the page was the very logical, practical steps. And I can see the cover, it's purple and it's gold. And I just don't remember the name of it, but by Mark Victor Hansen.
Okay.
I'll find it. Yeah.
I'll dig it up and we'll put a link in there. That's awesome.
Cool.
Thank you so much. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphs and successes of business owners across the land. We are underwritten locally by the Bank of Sun Prairie. If you are listening to this on the web, please give a thumbs up, subscribe, comment, and of course, share it with all your entrepreneurial friends. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. And let's see here. Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for service businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com, as well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs looking for growth on the web at drawincustomers.com. And of course, the Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur in all of us, available wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Sandy Forster, the best-selling author, speaker, and prosperity mentor with wildlywealthy.com. Sandy, can you tell us that website again where the listeners can get the all kinds of stuff that you had?
Sure, wildlywealthyfree.com. And I just want to finish on one thing, because sometimes people sort of hear my story and think, oh, well, she's so lucky. She's, you know, she's got it all together. But I want people to know that I dropped out of high school in grade 11. I didn't even finish high school. I was the least likely person that people would think would go on to create success. All I wanted to do was go down the beach because I live on the Sunshine Coast. And it's like, so people look at me and think, you know, oh, she can, you know, she's got it all together. She knows what she's doing. But I was the least likely. Dropped out of school in high school, had no connections, had no one that had money. I had, like, there was no way. I even had no real skills. Like, there was really no way that you would think I would go on to create what I have. So I believe that if I've been able to do it, using the law of attraction, rewiring my mind and taking action, then anyone can do it. It's really about setting that intention.
I love it. I love it. That's I don't know. It seems like a good place to end there because it's so true. The limitation is all in our mind, right?
Exactly.
That's what it comes down to. Awesome. Past episodes, I should let you guys know, can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.